Is I yield to none. I preach what I like, when I like, as I like.
I kind of like that.
I kind of like what Mr. Spurgeon had to say right there. And I tell you, it's just an honor and glory to be here tonight. And I appreciate the good preaching that we heard last night from Dr. Kidd and Dr. Arthur. They did a tremendous job. And I knelt down this afternoon in the motel and prayed for the preachers that would preach tonight, that God would touch them and help them. And I'd rather they be preaching tonight. And I really need the rest. And I trust that you'll help me now tonight. And before you criticize me, study the Bible a little bit. And then we'll look at it together tonight. It's going to be a good time. I kind of feel it coming on. And I'm going to preach tonight on food for thought.
We're in trouble.
Food for thought. And remember, I said that now. Food for thought. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1. And we're looking at about verse number 17. John chapter 1, verse number 17. The Bible said here, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Is that what your Bible says?
Yes.
That's what the King James Bible said. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." We might as well read verse 18 and take care of Brother Oral Roberts, if you want to call him that. "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." And I want to preach tonight from out of verse 17, when the Bible said the law was given by Moses. And then the Bible said grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And I'll not take long tonight, and I'll get out of the way so other preachers can come and the meeting can carry on as the Lord would have it to be. I want to use this tonight as food for thought, or if you will, we'll look at it in a minute, journeying to the land of Jordan. Journeying to Jordan. And I want to go back in a few minutes and go back into some of Israel's history and just look at some of the truths in the Old Testament. Now, down through church history, as I've read and studied behind men have loved to study Bible truths and Bible types and shadows and allegories that are found in the Old Testament. You'll find the word allegory in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Paul made reference to that. Then you'll find that there's the word in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. And then in verse number 11, you have the word example. Then you have the word ensample. They're the two same words. They mean the same thing. It's a die that's been struck into something and it leaves a resemblance. In other words, he's talking about an allegory or a type or a spiritual comparison. Now, I know there's a lot of preachers today. I've met a few of them. They don't like for you to preach Bible types from out of the Old Testament. They'd rather not do that. They say, "I don't believe you ought to do that." And they just simply preach from the New Testament. But now, wait a minute. If we're going to go that way, then we've got some real problems. Because the Holy Spirit put the Bible types in the Old Testament. Now, He's the author of the Bible, and He put those types and those shadows in the Old Testament. He designed the Word of God, the blessed Holy Ghost. And then when I get to thinking about that, our Lord Jesus thought much about the types and the shadows that were in the Old Testament. And you don't have to read far to you can find our Lord making reference to them. If you'll take your Bible and back up one chapter and go from the book of John to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. And you know the story here without me going into it in verse number 13 down through the remaining of this chapter. You have two men that are walking down the lonely road of Emmaus. And as they're walking down through there, their hearts are heavy. And they're so sad that Christ has died. And they've heard from the women that He's been resurrected, but they haven't seen Him. Then all of a sudden, a duet turned into a trio. And Jesus drew near unto them. And He was withholding from them. They did not recognize who that Jesus was. And the Lord asked him a question, and it's dangerous to ask this question today. He said, "Why are ye so sad?" And they began to tell him why they were sad, friend. And you know what the Lord did? He took them down. If you'll notice in verse number 25, then he said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" Now watch this. "And beginning at Moses," that's where the Lord Jesus began His sermon that day on the road down to Emmaus. "And beginning at Moses." Well, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, did he not? So our Lord began probably in the book of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Now, how would you have liked to have heard the Lord Jesus as he opened up those Old Testament scriptures and expounded about his own self, friend? No wonder the Bible said, and if you'll read on down through here, he got down to their house. He made as though he'd walk right on by, and they said, "Won't you come in and tarry with us?" And the Bible said in verse 30, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. They didn't know who he was. Even after he'd opened the scriptures and expounded in those Old Testament scriptures the things concerning himself. But I tell you what happened, friend, when he took that bread and he looked up to heaven and blessed it, I believe one of them nudged the other one and said, "I've heard somebody else pray just like that." And when he began to take that bread and break it and begin to lay that bread out before them, I believe they saw the wounds in his hands and their eyes were open. And you know what they said? They said there in verse 32, and they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scripture?" Man, no wonder they had holy heartburn to have the Son of God, the great I Am, to have the very living Word of God open up the scripture and declare himself from out of that Old Testament. Boy, I'd like to have heard the Lord preach that sermon that day. Can you imagine the Lord going back to Genesis chapter 3 and talking about the coat of skins that he made for Adam and Eve? Can you imagine the Lord talking about Abel's bloody offering? Can you imagine Genesis 6, our Lord preaching a sermon about Noah's ark and the burnt offering and the peace offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering and the great day of atonement, the cleansing of the red heifer, and the law of the leper, and on, he expounded unto them the things in that Old Testament concerning himself. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord believed in Bible types. The Holy Ghost put them in the Bible, and our Lord expounded upon them. Now, I believe we ought to go back and use them, friend. And I love it when the Holy Ghost lets me see something out of that Old Testament. And lets me see a type and a shadow that's hid in that Old Testament. I tell you, some of you have seen some of these things a long time ago. I remember when I first saw some of those things. I'd get up in the middle of the night and call my pastor and wake him up and say, "Preacher, can you believe I found this in the Bible?" Why, he'd seen it years and years ago. But it stirred my heart personally. And I want us to look tonight, if you will, and I want us to go back to the book of Exodus, and I want us to journey with the children of Israel, and I want you to watch them come out of Egypt, and then over into the land of Canaan. Now, it was Dr. F.B. Meyer, a great old Baptist preacher. Dr. F.B. Meyer said that Israel's life in the Old Testament pictures the Christian's life in the New Testament. And I believe that's so, friend, that in many, many ways. Now, another writer has said that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed through the types and the shadows. Now, stay with me tonight. If you like your Bible, and if you like Bible preaching, then I believe you'll like this tonight if you'll stay with me. Now, you can't go to sleep and you can't daydream, or you'll be left behind. Brother Billy Kelly used to say, come up here now. Come up here with me. Now, I want you to think about the old look or the old concept or the old possibility that we've been taught down through the years. And there's nothing wrong with what we've been taught down through the years. You know yourself that Egypt is a type of the world, friend. And that's where the children of Israel were. They were in Egyptian bondage down there. They were under Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's a type of the devil, friend. He had had them down there 430 long years. Then in Exodus chapter 12, you find there the killing of the Passover lamb. And they put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And God said, that night when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that's a beautiful type right there of salvation. And they put the blood on the doorpost, on the lintel. They cut the lamb on the inside. They roasted it with unleavened bread. And they ate it with bitter herbs that night. And then you remember in Exodus chapter number 14, they came down to the crossing of the Red Sea. They came to the Red Sea, and there stands Moses. Now behind him, here comes Pharaoh and all his armies, and there's a cloud of dust boiling, and in front of Moses there's the Red Sea. And God said, Moses, you stand still now and see the salvation of the Lord. And he stretched out that rod, and I tell you what God did, he parted the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground. There is another picture of salvation right there. They walked across on dry ground. Then you remember in Exodus chapter number 17, it was there at the rock called Horeb where Moses smote that rock, and water came out of that rock, and they drank of that rock, the Bible said. And you know what happened right there? You'll find also that in Exodus chapter number 17, then came Amalek. Amalek, now watch this. Amalek, which is a type of the flesh, Amalek came down into the wilderness to stop the children of Israel from ever getting over in the land of Canaan. If you'll study your Bible, you'll find out that Amalek dwelt in the southern end of the land of Canaan. And Amalek came down, met them in the wilderness, and tried to stop them from ever getting to the land of Canaan. Then you'll find in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, they came to Kadesh Barnea. And you remember there, Moses sent out the spies, and they came back. And you know, there's two, Joshua and Caleb, we believe the two came back and said, we be well able. Why, they be like bread before us, Caleb said. But the majority, the other ten, said, no way. There's giants over there. And we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And you remember, that's where they failed. That's where they went down in unbelief. You remember that now. And Moses said, every day you spent over there looking out the land of Canaan, which was 40 days. He said, you're going to spend a year, 40 years, wandering around in this wilderness till everybody 20 years old and upward dies, except Joshua and Caleb. Now, am I right? Am I right? Stay with me now. Y'all help me, Brother Jules. But you mean that. Y'all help me now that so I don't get messed up. Then you come down to Joshua chapter number 3. In Joshua chapter 3, you have the crossing of the Jordan. And you get down there, and they went across the Jordan River. Now the word Jordan, I'm told it's the word Yarden. And it means descender. Or it means going down. And it is a picture of death in a sense. And we've always preached that crossing the Jordan River is getting over into that land that flows with milk and honey, which is the land of Canaan. And there is the truth right there. And I'm telling you, every bit of that makes for good preaching. All of those are types. Are you listening to me? All of those are types. There's a picture of the type of salvation when they came out of Egypt. There's a picture of salvation when they crossed the Red Sea. There's even a picture of salvation when they drank from that rock, friend. And there's many pictures and types of salvation in that portion of Scripture. But tonight, I want us to look at it in a little different light. And I want you to pray for me now. We're just going to look at it in a little bit of a different light. Now you hang with me, all right?
Hang on,
Jim. Now y'all hang on. Y'all do believe the Bible, don't you? You do believe this King James Bible. I know you do. John 1:29 said, what did the Bible say? John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus. I've got one question to ask all of you Bible students. Can the law save you? Can the law save you? Help me now. Can the law save you? No way. The law cannot save you. And the only thing that can save you is the grace of God. Now you say, Brother Buster, what are you trying to say tonight? I've just given you some food for thought that you can go home and chew on. Moses. Now I know there's men that preach that Moses is a type of Christ. But now wait a minute. That type breaks down in a hurry. You know what Moses did, don't you? God said, now Moses, you go out there and speak to that rock. He smote it one time. And the Rock of Ages was only going to be smitten one time at Calvary, friend. And that second time Moses went out there and God said, you just speak to it. And Moses rebelled. And he smote that rock twice. And it cost him his life, friend. He never did get to go over in Canaan. And so him being a type of Christ falls apart. He disobeyed God.
That's right.
Amen. And you know what you find in your King James Bible? 22 times you'll find this expression. The law of Moses. The law of Moses. The law of Moses. I believe personally that Moses is a type of the law. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Can the law save you? No. And by the way, Moses didn't even get to go over into the land of Canaan. Law couldn't get him across. The law couldn't get him across. Did the law take him across over the Jordan? No. Amen now. How many of you still awake? All right now, hang on. Now, you know I can stand here with the help of God and with these men's help that have brilliant minds. And I could quote you a lot of verses. The Bible said in Galatians 2:16 that Paul said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we which have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. No man is justified by the works of the law. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 19, now we know what things where the law saith. He saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
What he said,
now the law is what condemns you and shows you you're a sinner, and it points you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 24? Paul said that he said in chapter 3 verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. They tell me that word means a tutor or a servant whose office it was to take the children to school. Hey, the law, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. So if I'm right, and in this type that I'm portraying tonight, I am not preaching a new doctrine. I am just preaching another type of salvation. Hey, Moses is a type of that law. He was the lawgiver. And all he could do was to point those Israelites to Christ. Now, if he's a type of the law, that's what he did. Well, did he do it or didn't he? Did Moses point those Israelites to Christ? Amen. And some of you looking at me awful skeptical now. Amen. You really don't want to argue tonight. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. I've tried to do my homework for a number of months on this right here. You get back over in Exodus. You get over in Exodus chapter number 14. You get over there before they ever crossed the Red Sea, friend. After the blood had been applied to the doorpost and the lintel. You know what they said before they crossed that Red Sea? They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. In verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may die in Egypt. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. That's after the blood had been applied to the doorpost and the lintel, friend. And that was before they crossed the Red Sea. Have you ever met a child of God saved by grace? Say, I wished I was back in Egypt. I wished I was lost again. Never have you ever met a thoroughbred saved child of God that wants to be lost again. Never, friend. So now if Moses is the type of the law, how in the world did he point them Israelites to Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 16, you remember in Exodus chapter 16, they've gone a little distance now, and they don't have anything to eat. So what does the Lord do? He rains down angels' food to them, and he rained down manna. Is that not right? He rained down manna. It was a small white thing like corn or seed that fell upon the ground. And they gathered it up every morning. And is not that manna a type of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did not Jesus say in John 6:48, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. But he said, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. When Moses pointed down, he said, there's manna. There's manna. The law, if you will. Moses pointing down to manna. Manna, a type of Christ. Yes. Amen. Remember, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Right. Moses said, there's manna on the ground, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, is there any other picture where Moses pointed to Christ? Exodus 17, that rock at Horeb. When they got there in Exodus chapter 17, God said, Moses, you get there, and behold, I'll stand before thee in verse 6 upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and thou shalt come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Watch this now. Moses, as a type of the law, he has that rod of God in his hand, and he rears back and he smites that rock. And that rock is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was smitten at Calvary by the rod of God's law in God's sovereign hand. God's wrath fell upon His Son, and there was a fountain of living water opened up at Calvary. Friend, whosoever will. Moses points down and said, there's manna. And he points out and said, there's a rock, friend. And that rock is a picture of Christ. Amen. And then I thought about this one.
Preach it out.
In Numbers chapter 21.
Praise the Jew, son.
In Numbers chapter 21, you know what you've got there? You've got the people murmuring against Moses. So God sends in little fiery serpents. And the fiery serpents begin to bite him, and they begin to die, didn't they? They begin to die right and left, right and left. Those fiery serpents were biting those people, and they begin to die. And you know what God told Moses to do? Now, He told Moses to do this, nobody else. He said, Moses, He said, you make a brazen serpent. And Moses, you put it up on a pole, and you lift it up above your head. And everybody that looks at that brazen serpent shall be healed. Now, Moses couldn't do a thing for him. Moses couldn't heal him. He couldn't do a thing for him. But he took that brazen serpent, which is a type of Christ, he put it on a pole, and he lifted it up. And by the way, the only thing that ever got above Moses' head was that brazen serpent. And that brazen serpent is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ was above the law, friends. Amen. Moses couldn't heal him. Moses couldn't do a thing for him. But he said, I'm going to lift up Christ. And if you'll look to Christ, if you'll look to that brazen serpent, ye shall live. Amen. So the law, Moses, the type of the lawgiver, he's pointing those Israelites to Christ. To Christ.
Amen, Doc.
Amen.
I believe it.
Now, don't let your dentures fall out. And some of you done turned your hearing aid down, man. Don't fall out with me. I'm just preaching a type to you.
I believe it.
Amen. Well, I tell you, hey, Moses had to do it. He said, I can't help you Israelites. I can't. And my brother Roloff preached this a long time ago. Brother Roloff used to preach on Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. Dr. Law, I've got that tape. And you remember the man came to Dr. Law and said, it's my hands, I can't quit handling cards. It's my eyes, I can't quit looking at wicked things. And it's my feet, I can't stay off the dance floor. And Dr. Law said, I can't help you. You've got a heart problem. The man said, it ain't my heart, it's my hands, my eyes, and my feet. And Dr. Law said, you have got a heart problem. And the man said, well, do you operate? Can you do surgery? He said, no. He said, well, what am I to do? He said, I've got an associate right down the hall, and his name is Dr. Grace. And what Dr. Law couldn't do, Dr. Grace did for him.
Right.
Amen, now. So you're saying, preacher, are you trying to tell us tonight in a picture and in a type that those Israelites did not get saved until they crossed the Jordan River? You catch on pretty quick. Y'all pretty good Bible students. You're catching on.
Sure is quiet.
Hey, yeah, it's quiet. Brother Ed Blue, and say if we had a body up here, we could have us a good funeral tonight. Now, hey, some of you will criticize, but you won't study. You won't go and study this, but you'll find some criticism with it. I'm telling you, the law, Moses is the lawgiver. He points them to Christ. Now let me ask you another question. Look at me. Who in the world got him across the Jordan River?
That's what I want to know.
Who got him across the Jordan? Well, you know who it was, don't you? It was a man by the name of Joshua. It was a man by the name of Joshua. Are you listening? And you know what Joshua's name meant? They were 600,000 men of war, not counting the men and the children. And out of those 600,000 men of war, the one that took them across the Jordan just happened to be named Joshua. And the word Joshua means Jehovah is Savior. It's the Old Testament equivalent for the New Testament word Jesus. Jesus. And that's who got him across. If you don't believe that, then you got a problem with Hebrews chapter 4. For the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 4, the Scripture tells us in verse 8, for if Jesus, and that's not talking about Jesus Christ, now that's talking about Joshua, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Caleb's name has two word meanings. The first word meaning is dog. A dog. And the second word meaning is wholehearted. And even Moses said he hath another spirit.
That's what he said.
Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you this much. Oh, listen to me. Caleb, he's a type of the Holy Spirit. You say, are you calling the Holy Spirit a dog? Wait a minute. You've got to understand what they used some of those dogs for in those days. They were sheep dogs that got the flock in, friend. And I'm telling you, it's the Holy Ghost that's getting the flock of God in. Amen. And it was Joshua, and it was Jesus, if you will. And it was Caleb and the Holy Ghost. They're the only ones that can get you across. Moses brought him as far as he could. And Moses said, I can't go no further. But I tell you what, Joshua and Caleb took him on across. Amen. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. You think that's an accident or a coincidence? While not on your life, some of you look like you've seen a ghost. Some of you look like Brother Kidd. I've heard him say, some of you look like you stepped in something before you come in here. He that's exactly like who took him across.
That's what the Bible says. You can't get away from it, man.
You say, if that's so, then we got some real problems. And I figured we might have some. I figured that you might have some problems if this is... Then it's just a type. It's a type.
Yeah, don't get bent out of shape.
Some of you right now, man, your blood pressure's sky. Now, if you don't get settled, then you're going to have a heart attack.
They need to.
Now, you say, preacher, see, if that is so, what about those who died in the wilderness? What about that crowd that died in the wilderness? In typology, those that died in the wilderness died in unbelief. They died in unbelief. If you've ever read your Bible, the Bible said in Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You say, where in the world did they have the gospel preached to them? In Numbers 13, in Numbers chapter 14. When the spies went across and the two came back and they were carrying a cluster of grapes, two men carrying one cluster of grapes, and they said, man, it's a land that flows with milk and honey, we be well able. That's the good news. That's when they had the gospel preached unto them. But you know what they did? They rebelled. And in unbelief, they said, we're not going to go across.
Exactly right.
And they didn't do it. And they died in the wilderness. Everybody 20 years old and upward except Joshua and Caleb.
Right.
Amen. It's exactly what this book teaches. Now you say, some of you look at me and you say, now you wait a minute. What are you going to do with Korah, buddy?
Yeah.
Now come on, theologians. What are you going to do with Korah and 250 men of renown?
Right.
I know I'm not talking about, lay members. I ain't talking about Sunday school teachers. I'm talking about 250 men of renown rose up with Korah. They said, Moses, you take too much authority on you.
Yeah, there's some here like that.
And you know what happened? Moses said, all right, boys. If nothing else happens to me, I just die the common death. But if something strange happens to you, if the earth opens up her mouth and swallows you alive down in the pit, then you'll know that I'm the man of God I say that I am. And I'll tell you what Dr. Percy Ray said. Dr. Percy Ray said they went to hell with their shirt tail a-flapping in the breeze. All 250 of them, friend, they went to hell. They went into the pit.
Right. Yeah.
What's the book say?
Oh, yeah. Lost the salvation.
Oh, you say, I think they're that mixed multitude. I knew you was going to come up with that. I knew you was going to think of that. I think that's that mixed multitude. 250 men of renown. You'll chew on this thing for a while. Some of you ain't going to chew nothing. You're spitting it out right now. You remind me of my little babies when we used to try to spoon feed them and they'd go, just spit it everywhere. And we'd get about halfway in there and they'd go, spit it all over.
Keep coming.
Amen. What are you going to do with them? Got to do something with them. He brought them out to bring them in. He never brought them out to die in the wilderness, friend. He brought them out to bring them over into the land of Canaan.
You're right, John.
Amen.
So you say, well, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't be saved if you don't believe. Unbelief will send you to hell. And they would not believe. And you know what? Hey, you want to get technical? You know what? Moses said, all right, you won't believe the good news, the good report, the law. Moses said, you're going to wander around 40 years out here. 40 long years. And you know what they saw in chapter number 14 of Numbers? They saw their mistake. And they said, we have sinned. You can read this. They said, we have sinned. They said, Moses, we've sinned. And they rose up early in the morning and got them unto the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here and we'll go up in the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And you know what Moses said? Moses said, wherefore do you now transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not with you. They were going to go on their own, friend. But you can't get in on your own. You don't go unless Caleb and Joshua takes you across. You don't get across unless the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus get you. I believe old Caleb backed up and crossed his arms. And I believe Joshua did the same thing and said nothing to him. And they tried to go over.
You better believe it.
And the Amalekites beat them down.
Right.
You don't get saved anytime you want to get saved. You get saved when the Lord's calling you and dealing with you. And you say, preacher, now hang on, Brother Buster. What about this pillar of cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night? Well, you understand what it was for. Those 20 years old and under, God was going to bring them to the Jordan, friend. He was going to bring them. And it took 40 years out there in the wilderness for the law to be fulfilled. And that unbelieving crowd had to die. Somebody figured that up. And they figured they must have been having 50 funerals a day. Boy, wouldn't you like to have been a mortician then? 50 funerals a day. They had to bury them unbelievers. He said, what about that pillar of fire by day and a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day? It was for their protection. I mean, that pillar of fire by night kept them from freezing to death in that wilderness. That pillar of cloud by day kept them from burning up. Hey, it was central heat and air in the wilderness. God was protecting that crowd that He was going to bring up to cross over the Jordan River. Now see if you can handle this.
Doubt it.
How else are you going to explain? How else are you going to... Some of us attempted suicide. Some of us, before we got saved, looked down the barrels of guns, wrecked cars, drunk enough liquor to float a battleship, smoked enough dope to wreck and ruin our minds. I mean, we ought to be dead. We ought to be in hell. But what else can you say but God watched over us and God protected us and God's amazing grace watched over us? What else can you say? I like this verse, Hebrews chapter 1. Where the writer is magnifying how Christ is so much better, so much better, so much better. And he's talking about the angels. And he said, are they, that is the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto them who shall be heirs of salvation? Do you know that's in your King James Bible?
Yes, sir.
You ever been down to the... your mama's house, papa's house, or maybe you've been down and you see them now at the Cracker Barrel. And they've got the picture. Now, I know angels, those angels didn't have those wings and didn't have long hair effeminate. But it shows a so-called angel. And there's two little old kids going across a rickety bridge. How many of you have ever seen that picture? And that water's a swirling underneath. And you almost want to reach out and help those kids. Some of those slats are missing. And it's like the angel is watching over those little kids. The artist might have had a little bit more biblical theology than you thought he did. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto them who shall be heirs of salvation. I didn't know I was going to be an heir of salvation. I was lost on my way to hell. But I'm telling you, God knew I was coming in one day. And He watched over me and He protected me until He got me there.
Amen.
What are you going to do with
it? You count it right.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
Who shall be heirs of salvation? Oh, Mr. Spurgeon. No, it was Mr. Moody, Mr. D.L. Moody. You can't get no more ballast than what he was. Surely you couldn't find fault with Mr. Moody tonight. He said, when you go through those 12 gates, one of those 12 gates in heaven, he said, maybe etched on the outside, it'll say, whosoever will, let him come. And he said, when you get on the inside and look back, it's going to say Ephesians 1:4, chosen in Him from the foundation of the world. I like that. Known unto God are... Hey, you listen to me. God's not in heaven tonight. God's not biting His sovereign fingernails, drinking Maalox, and taking nerve pills, wondering about how this thing's going to turn out. God knows exactly how this thing's going to turn out. Sure He does. Now, this is not to put a damper on our soul winning efforts and passing out tracts and trying to win the loss. But I'm telling you, God knows who's the cup. I got one more problem, preacher. What about that blood? And I pray this afternoon, I don't want nobody to think that I'm doing any detriment to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Exodus chapter 12, if you'll study your Bible, you'll find that blood was shed for the firstborn in the family.
Right.
For the firstborn in the family and the firstborn of the animals. That's what that blood was shed for. That's the Bible.
Right.
And they put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. And you say, well, preacher, see, if they didn't really get saved in a picture until they crossed the Jordan River, what was the... Well, can't you see the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? I mean, can't you see a picture of the Lamb being slain from the foundation of the world, friend? And if you want to get technical, some of you are real technical people, you're good students of the Bible, that blood was shed for Israelites.
Only.
Are you listening? No Perizzites, no Jebusites, no Amalekites.
None.
Israelites. Only. Thought you'd like that too. I'm going to get a drink on it.
Son, you killed her graveyard dead. Deep preaching.
But I want you to understand the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And His blood was shed for whosoever will. Now don't come up trying to argue with me after service. Let me quit sweating at least before you start arguing with me. Now, we're about done. You say we really are about done. Joshua chapter number 3. I see Brother Caleb run up to Josh. And he said, hey Josh, you know who we just married? Joshua said, if I've got this thing calculated right, he said, Caleb, that's the last of them unbelievers. And old Caleb said, that's the last one of them boys. And Joshua said, you tell everybody to get ready. We're getting ready to make the crossing. We're going to make the crossing. And you know what happens to Moses? God carries him up to the plains of Pisgah, to the mountain of Nebo. Right. God killed Moses and buried Moses. No man knows of his sepulcher to this day. My daddy said God kissed Moses to death and just smothered him to death. You say, preacher, didn't you say Moses went to hell? No, Moses was on the mountain transfiguration. I'm just preaching a type here. Get real, would you?
Right.
Had somebody call me the other night, a real student, 12 o'clock at night. He said, oh my God, he said Moses is in hell. No, I said, no, he showed up on the mountain transfiguration. He made it. Joshua chapter number 3. They're getting ready to make the crossing now. And you know what the Bible said in chapter 3 verse 4? Joshua said, yet there shall be a space between you and it, that is the Ark of the Covenant, about 200,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way. It's a picture of Christ. If you will, friend, it's a picture of Christ going out there by Himself. And that Ark of the Covenant represents the Lord Jesus Christ. They get out there and Joshua said, ye have not passed this way hitherto. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So the next day, you know what they did? Those priests got out there in verse 15. And as they that bare the ark were come near unto Jordan, and their feet were, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped into the brim of the water. Watch this, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Jordan was out of banks, it was flowing over. That the waters came down from above, stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city Adam. Now what about that? What about that? The city of Adam that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the Sea of the Plain, even the Salt Sea, they fell and they were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Now when the priests got out there in the water with the Ark of the Covenant, all of a sudden Jordan began to roll. And it went this way, all the way back to the city of Adam. You think that's a coincidence? To the city of Adam, and then it rode this way all the way down to the Salt Sea, which is the Dead Sea. Do you not see a picture there of the Ark of the Covenant representing Christ reaching all the way back to Adam and all the way down to the Dead Sea, the last soul that'll ever be born, and saying, I'm going to take care of all that sin.
And when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, do you know where he was baptized? By Bethel Barbara. And they believe it was the very same place right here. And when the Lord came wading out in the waters of the Jordan River, I believe Jordan said unto God, are we going to row back to the city of Adam again? Are we headed down to the Dead Sea again? But the Lord, it's a picture of him reaching all the way back to Adam. All the way down to that Dead Sea. Said, I'm going to take care of all. Joshua 4, we got to quit. I know it. We got to get out of here. Joshua 4, as soon as they get across, you know what they did? As soon as they got across, Joshua said, I want you to get 12 men. Get 12 men and get back down in Jordan. Before the waters come back, before the priests step out, get 12 rocks out of the Jordan River. Lift them up and carry them up here on the bank of Canaan. Take 12 rocks off the bank of Canaan and take them and put them back in the middle of Jordan. And when they did that, the waters came covering up those rocks. Well, that's a picture of our sins being buried, as it were, in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And those rocks up there on the Jordan River, up on the side of the Jordan bank, on the side of Canaan, it was a memorial, a day of writing, a testimony that this is where we crossed over and came into the land of Canaan. Some of you ain't convinced yet, are you? You know what chapter 5 this is? Verse 2, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives.
Watch it.
And circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. There had to be a circumcision. Is that not what Colossians 2:11 said? Their circumcision made without hands upon our hearts. Is that not happened? It's what happened when you got saved. That circumcision was made by the Holy Ghost. After the circumcision, the Bible said in verse number 9, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day, which means a rolling. Amen. You know what they did then? They ate the old corn of the land once they crossed over.
Yeah.
I want you to think about something else and we'll be through. Hey, look at me. Are you looking at me? Please look at me. All the days of the wilderness. You know what they said? Would God would have died in Egypt. Would God would have died in Egypt. Would God would have died but with the leeks and the melons and the onions and the garlic. So Moses, would God. Once they crossed the Jordan River and they got in the land of Canaan, that's never mentioned again in your Bible.
Amen.
Never. Once they crossed over the Jordan.
Yeah, right, brother.
And it was Joshua and Caleb. To get him across. Somebody told me one time, said, y'all entitled this message, Thank God for Joshua. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Amen.
Well, you say, where's backsliding? Where's backsliding, preacher? What they would do, they were to drive out the Amalekites. They were to drive, do you understand? They were to drive out the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites. They were to take the land and drive them out. But what they did, they failed to do it. As long as Joshua lived, as long as the elders that outlived Joshua lived, that they did do. But then they began to co-inhabit with the enemy. And God sent the days of the judges in and out of captivity, until he let them go into captivity. Down into Babylon.
That's right.
It's just the book. That old songwriter had that old song, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me, and I won't have to cross Jordan alone.
Right, brother.
Good friend of ours here at the camp, old Brother Earl Hughes, saw me a preacher from Mechanicsville, Georgia. And he was preaching one day about Moses being the type of that law. And the law was up here. The law was up here. And everybody tried to get up to where the law was. Nobody could get up there. And one day, the law turned around and somebody was standing there. And the law said, "Who are you?" And this person said, "I'm Jesus Christ." And the law said, "How did you get up here?" And Jesus said, "I didn't come up here. I come down here. I come down here." I don't know if it's permissible or not. I don't think Brother Allen would mind if we did this, if he'd give me permission. I'd like for us to sing that old song, Brother Carpenter, and if somebody could lead us in it. And it's that old song that we've sung in our churches all these years, page 287 in that Redback Church hymn. "I'm a living in Canaan now." You ever thought about that song? "Egypt was once my home. I was a slave, helpless in sin did roam. Love light did crave, but when I looked up to higher ground, Christ came to save, and I'm a living in Canaan now." Would it be all right if we sung that? Let's stand all over the building. Sing it from your heart. You help him sing tonight. Brother Lance is getting ready.